Welcome to this special Thanksgiving program. It is our Hope Dad's message, when Paul and Silas gave thanks, will draw you closer to our Savior this week. May the Lord bless you this season as you gather with others. We pray the Lord's presence will fill your hearts with love.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy when we can come every weekend and worship with you. And thank you for opening your doors and letting us come in to worship together. And just think, all over the world, the people that love Jesus are worshiping him. And some that don't know Jesus are also watching us and worshiping with us. And maybe they'll open their heart to Jesus today. We have a wonderful sermon today because it's Thanksgiving. And this Thursday, we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving in the United States. But we should be celebrating it all over the world. And we should be celebrating Thanksgiving every day of the year, all over the world. But before that, I want to share some letters with you. And we just thank you for writing to us. And you get your pencil and paper ready. And at the close of the service, I'll give you our address. And we'd just love to hear from you. You can write to us, maybe send us a gift to help us on the way. And if you have a question, we'll try to answer that. But here's some of the letters. The first one is from Billings, Montana. And listen to this. My mom went to be with Jesus on May 31st, 2017, at 100 years and 8 months old. 100 years and 8 months old. And then listen to what the daughter writes and says, God allowed me to find Jesus at around 80 years old. And not a lot of people come to Jesus when they get into their 80s and their 90s or even their 70s. We kind of get in a kind of a mutt in a rut and we don't change much. And so, it's possible. Any age you want to be, whether you're a five-year-old like my daughter, Patty, accepted Jesus at 5 years of age. And here's this lady at 80 years of age. And so you can come if you want to come. You come today. Let's see. Here's St. Paul, Minnesota. I accepted Jesus through Christian Worship Hour. I accepted him when I said the words at home during your program. And so we do have people write, and they'll say, during the service. And sometimes when I pray the prayer, they pray with me. And here's at home, accepted the Lord. And we just rejoice in that. Let's see. Oh, listen to this one. Guyana, South America. And I looked this up, and I checked it, and that's 3,590 miles away. And the cell phone said 3,590 miles as the crow flies. So that's a long ways for that crow to fly. But just think, and this here's a dear brother, and this is what he writes. I'm 80 years old. I'm the elder of a church in Guyana, South America. Please pray for my country, Guyana, for politicians are destroying that beautiful country with so much wealth God has given us. And then he says, I urge listeners to support your work for the Lord with their giving, offerings, and tithes. Despite your age of 96 years, you can still find joy in preaching the Lord's message, message of hope. And now listen to what he says. The pearly gates of heaven will fling open for you to enter the golden city of God that has been prepared for you only if you open your heart to let Jesus enter. God bless you. When I read that, I shed a tear. Because here's a dear brother, 3,000 miles away. We have never met each other. We've never talked to each other. And I won't see him till I get to heaven. And he's using my words. We're using the same words. He says, if you open your heart and let Jesus enter. And I says, now, why would he be doing that? I'll tell you why he'd be doing that. He's reading the same Bible. And when you read that Bible, it's as plain as day. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so just praise God. Here's a dear brother. I'm going to see him in heaven. And that's what we're preaching all the time. come to Jesus. Open your heart to Jesus. Rapid City, South Dakota, please send us a copy of your seminar for small churches, as we're a member of a small church trying to build membership. This may help us with ideas to do so. And we have a seminar that it's 52 minutes long. We send it free and postpaid, maybe with a free will offering, if you got something you can give us. And you get your pencil and paper, I'll give the address. And it tells you about how the pastor of a small church, the things he has to face and how you can help him and work with him. And I think it will help you to make a stronger church. One more letter, Gaylord, Michigan. We feel like we know you, and we want to say that we both have said that prayer to ask God into our hearts. God bless you. God loves you, and so do we. So we rejoice, and this is Thanksgiving. This Thursday's Thanksgiving, and when we read letters about people coming to Jesus, and we hear from this dear brother in South America and others, we just rejoice and praise God. And so we're going to look at a story today about Paul and Silas and how they gave thanks to God. And you know the story there. It's recorded in Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 31. They're in prison. And then we read, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they cried and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And that is that if this the father will believe, he will teach his children and they will follow the same pattern. And if you all believe, but each of you individually have to believe, and you will be saved. And out of this wonderful story, we see three things. We see, first of all, that being thankful enlarges our lives. It makes us grow. And second, being thankful is a true form of praise. And third, being thankful wins people to Jesus Christ. So let's look at those points just for a few minutes. Being thankful enlarges our lives. Do you realize, dear friend, we grow spiritually by being thankful, happy people? It helps us have a whole different look on life, and we grow spiritually. Complaining has a devastating effect upon our spiritual growth. And so it works like this. If I'm constantly complaining, then all my looking and seeing and thinking is self-centered. I'm looking at my little old self, and I keep looking at myself, and the center is small, and it grows smaller every day as I look into my own life and think only of myself. But if I'm looking and seeing and thinking of all the blessings God had given me in my life, then the world is constantly enlarging. And the longer and the larger my outlook on life, the more blessings I'm going to see. That's what Jesus taught us in Matthew 16:25. He says, "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." And so if you're just looking into yourself, Jesus is warning us, and he's telling us, don't be so self-centered, and don't be a complaining person, and don't be selfish when just looking at yourself and thinking of yourself. These people become small people. These people become narrow people. And why do they do that? Because they limit their vision and they don't see God and they don't see others. They just see themselves. Small, selfish people. Rarely they find a God or find enlarged until they're born again and they get a different outlook on life. People who are self-centered have small horizons and they have limited visions. And they just can't hardly see beyond the end of their nose. On the other hand, those who think of others, Those who live their life for Christ and others, their horizons are enlarged. They become enlarged and they see the whole world, and they're constantly seeing the blessings and the goodness of God about them. And the circumstances of life need not destroy us, not at all. We may not be able to change those circumstances, but we believe this, that we can make those, we can handle those circumstances for good or for evil. When the hard things come upon us, and all of us are going to have them more or less. Jesus told us in John 16:33, and he says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So when these trials and things come upon us, then you just give thanks and praise, and it delivers us from this smallness and selfishness. That's what David tells us in Psalm 4, verse 1. He says, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Now look at that for a moment. David is talking about distress. He's talking about troubles and trials. Perhaps it's like the invalid Annie Johnson Flint and wrote a little poem, and she said, as we offer our small rejoicing for the love that surround our days, all the wonderful works of thy goodness shall open before our gaze. Through the gates of our narrow thanksgiving, we shall enter thy courts of praise. And that thankful, rejoicing attitude will bring blessing to our soul and will enlarge our looks and our looking. And we'll, instead of seeing our little old thing in our little old hand, we'll see the whole world that's in God's hand. The Song of Solomon we read, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. But when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. All the days of the afflicted are bad, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. And again, he tells us in Proverbs 17, verse 22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. So being thankful generates more thanksgiving. Praising God only makes it possible for more praise to God. And as our thankfulness enlarges, we see this great and wonderful God. And out of this all comes, it enlarges our lives. And then secondly, giving thanks makes true praise possible. Sometimes we pretend our praise and thanksgiving. Sometimes we pretend that everything is just fine, but we never deceive God. And we don't deceive other people either. And so it has to be genuine. And when I say that I'm happy in the Lord, and if I'm not happy in the Lord, I'm a hypocrite of the worst kind. And so your heart has to be right with God. And we have to be given to God and trusting him and keep our eyes on this wonderful Jesus. And then our thanks and our praise, well, it'll be a genuine. But God, that the devil tries to rob us of that. And so here it comes. And so he makes us pride. He makes us proud. And we think about it as though God isn't treating us the way we should. And then we get to thinking, we feel as though God, nobody appreciates us. And then we get to feel as though others don't recognize that what we're doing, and they don't see that we're really doing anything for the Lord, and maybe we aren't doing much. And so then we feel slighted, and we don't get our own way, and we become with self-pity, and we shrivel up. And we get to that little mind because we're proud. We think we're so great when we're not that great, and we're all pulled in together. But when that person, we have a different frame of mind and we become humble people, even amid troubles and trials, we find a place for thanks and praise. And we're seeing God's grace at work in our lives and in the lives of others. And we have grounds for this thanksgiving and this praise to God. So look about us and enlarge our vision. Look beyond our own nose. Look beyond our own family. Look beyond our own church and our own nation. Look out upon the whole wide world. And that's what I just love about the Christian Worship Hour. We have the whole world. We're preaching to the nations of the world. We're not just for our little old South Dakota or the United States. or North America. It's the whole wide world, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, won't go to hell, but will have everlasting life, and that's heaven with God. And so keep your eyes and look on the whole world. And I am so thankful that with our television, we're reaching the nations of the world. And you know, with shortwave radio, we reach 90% of the world's population. And I rejoice in that, because it means that we can look beyond ourselves and we can bring praise and thanksgiving and blessing to the whole world. And when you open your heart to Jesus, you'll find a joy and a peace that you never had. The world can't give it to you, and the world can't take it away from you. You just have put your faith in Jesus, and you just say, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you please to take away my sins, and I'll follow you as best I can." You'll never be perfect, but you'll make him the master of your life, the Lord of your life, and then thank him, see? And that's what we need to do. So we're unthankful because we're not looking then and seeing how the God's hand is over the whole world and how he blesses and he helps us even the troubles and trials of life. And we don't look at those blessings. We just look at the troubles. Dwight L. Moody once was reading Psalm 103, and he paused after the phrase, "and forget not all his benefits." And he said, "You can't remember all the benefits of God. You can't remember them all, but don't forget them either. Remember some of them." And maybe it's a good thing if we just make a little make a list of the blessings that God has given us and put on the spiritual blessings and the material blessings and all of these things. But it's mostly that we have Jesus, the realm of the spiritual. Charles Haddon Spurgeon used to say, we're prone to write our blessings in the sand, but engrave our trials in the marble. And how important it is to have the right attitude, have the right attitude of life, and look on the bright side, look on God's side, trust him and love him. Yes, your being thankful is a true form of praise. And then finally, being thankful wins people to Jesus. The unsaved world is sick and tired of hearing how bad things are going with you. And when you look at some of the news at night, I shut it off. I get sick of it. This whole world, and why don't they turn to God? And it's all over the world. You can turn any part of the world, and there's troubles, and there's sorrow, and there's grief. And they're sick and tired of that. And so on. What we have to do is talk about Jesus and the bright side and the hope we have in Jesus Christ. And we can just say, as how somebody says, "How are you today?" And you can just say, "Oh, bless you, I was just sitting here praising the Lord with all he's done for me." Keep your eyes on Jesus. When Peter walked on the water, he walked on the water, and all of a sudden he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he looked at the waves, and he looked at the tempest, and he looked at all of the dark black water around him, and he began to sink. So get your eyes on Jesus, and that'll help us to live above all of the troubles and trials of life. You know, and so we just think of this when we have that. People will notice that if we're happy, rejoicing people, if we're like this, just sitting there praising and thanking the Lord, they will see that, they will notice that, and it will have an effect on their lives. We sure won't win people to Christ if we have faces a lot 6 feet long, look like you've been baptized in dill pickle juice, sour pusses. Cheer up, the saints of God. There's something to sing about the wonderful glory of God, and we be rejoicing, happy people. And that's where we come into the story of Paul and Silas. They were in prison. And they were in the Acts chapter 16. We just read it a minute ago, and they were in this prison, and they were singing in the midnight. At midnight they were singing. At midnight, when it's the darkest night, the time of the night, when it's the worst time of the night, it's an awful time. And that's when they were singing and praising and thanking God. and they were under awful duress because maybe they're going to be put to death tomorrow. That far as they know, they would die, and yet they're singing. And while they're singing and praising God, and all of the jailers are listening, and the jailer is listening, and all of the other prisoners are listening, and they're moaning, and they're groaning, and Paul and Silas are singing, they could have taken a different route. They could have said, oh, dear Lord, here we are. We're doing everything we can for you, and now here we are, and we're having troubles. No, they praise the Lord. And that's what we're told in 1 Thessalonians. We read, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Some singing and praising the God, happy and joyful, that's going to get the world's attention, and that's going to bring people to Jesus Christ. Some of the greatest servants have been people who could rejoice and be happy and laugh. Martin Luther, the great reformer, do you think of him as sour, a stern-faced, sober judge of a man? If you think that way, you're mistaken. Luther and his biographers tell us abounded in playful humor and mirth. He wasn't afraid to laugh. He was happy in the Lord. And as a consequence, he drew thousands upon thousands of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. A man who could be thanking God and praising God, even laughing as he did his work. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, we all heard about Spurgeon, great preacher of London. And do you think of him as an old sourpuss, long-faced, a gloomy Gus? What? If you're thinking about that, you got the wrong number. Spurgeon loved life, and often his sense of humor showed up in the pulpit, and consequently often used humor in his sermons. And many clergymen were terribly upset because in those days you didn't laugh in church, and so they were really tough on him. And Spurgeon said, if only you knew how much I hold back, you'd commend me. This preacher thinks it less a crime to come to cause a momentary laughter than a half-hour profound slumber. And so here you have Luther, and you have Spurgeon, and they're people of God, men of God, and they were happy, rejoicing people. And so that's what we have to do this Thanksgiving, dear friends. And you know what else? You will never have that thankfulness. You can never be rejoicing and praising God. You can never be like Paul and Silas and singing midnight until and unless you have Jesus in your heart. And you'll never have him in your heart until you pray and ask him, Sir Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what this jailer did. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't the terrible earthquake that brought him to Jesus. It was his Paul and Silas singing the praises of Jesus. That's what it brought him to God. And he's saying to himself, these men could have run away. And that's why he was going to fall on his sword, because the Roman government had it. If a jailer lost any of his prisoners, he would pay the price that they were going to give out to those prisoners that were escaped. And in this case, it would be their life, and he was going to kill himself, exactly what he's going to do. And then he sees this Jesus, this wonderful Jesus, and he sees how they're singing about him, and he says, I want to sing like you. I want to have what you have. How can I have that? What must I do to be saved? And maybe you're saying that today. I have a feeling that all over the world, God is talking to you. He's knocking at your heart's door. And he's saying, if you open the door, I will come in and sup with you. I'll fellowship with you. But you have to pray it. Now, if you made that prayer and you asked Jesus, or maybe you drifted away and you're coming back, and if you've done that, you write to us, or you get word to us. But if you can't get to us, maybe on short wave, and there's no way to get the Gospel of John. Start reading the Gospel of John. Try to find a church. Try to find believers and walk with them and talk with them. And then you write to us, and we'll pray for you too. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, USA. And you write to us, and we'll all answer no matter where you are in the world. Or if you want to get us on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. ChristianWorshipHour.com. And all of our sermons, well, a lot of our sermons are on there. You can take the sermons off. If you want a sermon on a certain subject, you can do that. And then if you want to, you pray, because we're dependent on God's people. We're not underwritten by any corporation or organization or anything else. We are dependent on God's people to give their gifts to carry on this work. And if you think it's something that's worthwhile, if you think it's something that God is using, then you send us a gift. And if you want to, you can send a gift on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com, and anywhere in the world, and we'll get it in American currency. So I hope that you'll write. And one other thing, we have a little Bible study, and it's in a new song, and you write for that, and we'll be glad to send it to you. Now I'm going to pray for you. And in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church. And today we're praying for the Christians in Yemen, because many of them are put to death and scattered all over the country. And so we're going to pray for them. So, dear Heavenly Father, we're just thanking you for multitudes of people that right now are going to have a real thanksgiving because they're asking you into their heart. And they're going to have peace and joy that they never had before. And we pray, Lord, for the persecuted church in Yemen, and help them to know that we're praying for them, and help them to know that we see how they're suffering for you, and it's encouraging all the Christian people all over the world. We're taking courage when we see your faith and your strength. What a blessing you are to us. Lord, be with those on beds of sickness. Be with those who are shut-ins and can't get around. Bless the young people who are struggling so hard, Lord, having so many temptations thrown in their face. Bless those in prison, Lord. We hear from so many. Bless us all. And dear Heavenly Father, help us to love you and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. So now you write to us. I have to hear from you. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. I hope you people on the shortwave will write. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So God bless you, God loves you, and we love you, and we pray for you, and trust you pray for us. So till next week, God bless you all.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.